Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bowmansville on this nice sunny day that we can't see the sunshine because it's above the clouds. So just welcome this morning. We are celebrating the culmination of studying through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, as we were doing so this morning in Sunday school. And so for this Life Celebration Sunday, we're focusing on God's Word. What does it say? How does it improve our lives? What are the benefits? And so we had asked a couple of weeks ago about you to respond with some information of how the Word impacted you. So I thought I would start out with how it has impacted me. So Joshua 1:9 has two words in that stand out to me. One is terrified and one is discouraged. And it's God's words to Joshua, because he was a leader to take over when Moses died. And so what did he say? So being a leader, you have times when you don't know what to do. And so this is God's word that I use in my life. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So being a leader is not always easy, because everyone's following you and there's no one that you're following because they're out in front. So knowing that God's going to be with me wherever I go means a lot. I know I was talking to someone at work this week, a new leader in our company, and I said, that's the challenge with being a leader. Like, you don't need a leader when everything's going good and everything's going the way it's supposed to and no decision needs to be made. You need a leader whenever things are going bad and no one knows what to do. Everyone's discouraged and everybody's kind of scared what's going to happen. That's what this verse is for. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for God is with you wherever you go. So that's been a help to me many times in life. The other one is Hebrews 12:1-2. I have said this many times, and it's on my dresser at home. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So there's things that hinder and things that entangle. Let's throw them off and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The reason we can do that is by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I think as in my life and being a leader, not knowing which way to go, knowing I'm not alone, God is with me, and that there is a purpose beyond what I can see right now to just keep pressing on and do what I know to do now and help other people to do the same. So our first song is taken from Psalm 90, and we'll receive the offering during this song. There's also the coins. My coins count for the children. And just reflect on where you stand. Are you in a terrified or discouraged position? What is it like to be in the dwelling place of God?
When the sun comes up, satisfy us before the day has passed us by. Before our hearts forget all your good. On Jesus crucified. consider him our hiding place, our shelter is our God. Because he lived and died for us, when the sun comes up, satisfy us before the day has passed us by. Before our hearts forget all your goodness, satisfy us with your love. Teach us, Lord, to number our days on earth and give us more wisdom in the secret heart as you display amazing grace through Jesus Christ. In the secret heart as you display amazing grace through Jesus Christ for us. When the sun comes up, satisfy us before the day has passed us by. Before our hearts regret, fulfill us, satisfy us with the sun comes up, satisfy us, for the day has passed us by. For our hearts forget all your goodness, satisfy us with your love, satisfy us with your love.
Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the tithes and offerings that have been offered up this morning. And thank you for the bishops of our district, Lord. Help these tithes and offerings to go to take care of their earthly needs, Lord. Thank you for their willingness to serve the congregations and serve our congregation, Lord, as they provide leadership for our church and our pastors, Lord. We thank you for your promise to us that you will be here for us and for taking care of us and sending your son to die for us, Lord. We thank you for all these things in your name. Amen.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us go this world where'er we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, so let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, hand it down to this age. Came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come
open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid or think I've lost my way, nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Your light is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. To the end. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
The next song is in the Mennonite hymnal, number 260. Sing the first and fifth verse.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That soul,
thank you to everybody who took the time to pray about and think about times when God's word has spoken into your life as part of this morning. The goal for this morning is just really the goal that we have every Sunday morning here, and that's just to worship and praise God. And just specifically this morning, we're praising him for his enduring word that he's given to us. So as we read these testimonies this morning, the ones that you all submitted, there's a lot of hard times reflected in the things that you wrote down, and yet God was faithful to you and to us and spoke to us through his word and gave us endurance. So I'm going to start by reading Luke 4:1-13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. I think we're all pretty familiar with the devil's schemes and his temptations that he throws our way. It's just great that Jesus, when he was here, he gave us a model for how to fend off those temptations and defend ourselves against the devil's attacks. And so this first section of testimonies I'm going to be reading here that were submitted have to do with God's word providing comfort and encouragement. Times when it would have been probably pretty easy to just listen to the lies of the devil and fear, but rather God's word provided comfort and encouragement in those times to fend off the attacks of Satan and provide a refuge for us. Melanie Umble writes, "I have been greatly encouraged and challenged by reading God's word, specifically in reading through the Psalms during times of uncertainty with Randy's deteriorating health, countless times during our almost 24 years of marriage. In Psalm 62, 5 through 8, God is our rock and refuge. He invites us to pour out our hearts to him." Another person wrote, "Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. I don't totally understand this verse, but it gives me peace about the future." Audrey Haller writes, "In August of 2022, I got word that my brother Jake had a heart attack. The next day, while he was in bypass surgery, I got a call from my dad saying he was on the way to the hospital with shortness of breath. I wasn't able to go in to see them because Carrie had COVID. Needless to say, it was an overwhelming time. Along with listening to worship music, I was seeking God by reading his word. Psalm 34:4 says, 'I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. God did answer me by filling me with peace that only he can give.'" Another person wrote their thoughts. "In 2020, the words COVID and pandemic became common in newspapers, on TV, and other media, as well as everyday conversations. Some facts were reported, but a lot of what was being circulated and repeated was what might happen, and it created great fear. We were told nothing would protect us from or protect people from dying or getting very sick except a quickly created vaccine. Any other suggestions or things to do or medicine to take were quickly ridiculed and pushed aside. During all of this, I struggled to find hope. There was such a spirit of hopelessness and despair in the world. I often read the following verse, Proverbs 3:5-6 from the easy-to-read version. 'Trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. With every step you take, think about what he wants, and he will help you go the right way.'" Someone else wrote, "One time I was going through a tough time at work, and my mother had breast cancer. My friends and I went to the beach, and I found a seashell with 1 Peter 5:7 written on it. 'Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you.' The words 'love Jesus' and 3 crosses were written on the inside part of the shell. When we cast our cares on Jesus, we can trust him." Dwayne Weaver wrote, "A time in my life when I felt physically and spiritually alone, I cried out to God, and he answered with his presence. Psalm 46:1-3 says, 'God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.'"
One day this summer, I was reading my daily devotions. It was just the next thing that I was reading. And it was in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's one of the chapters that I read that day. And alongside of the, you know, those verses, 16 through 18, which I'll read to you in a second, I had written, these are Leroy's favorite verses. Now, Leroy, most of you know, was my, Leroy Horst is my father-in-law. And he was a favorite Sunday school teacher of many of us. And I believe, I don't know exactly when I wrote this, but I believe that I wrote that during a Sunday school lesson that he would have said that, oh, you know, these are some of my favorite verses. And I just jotted it down in my Bible. And so this is, these are some of his favorite verses, or his favorite verses. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 18. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I just paused during my devotions and I just thought about him a little bit, you know, and went on with my day. Well, later that same day, it just happened to be, that I was helping Ruthie prepare for her Leroy and her son Jordan was getting married the next day, and I was helping to prepare for the rehearsal dinner. And right before the rehearsal dinner, before they said a blessing over the meal, Jordan said, after the meal, I would like any of you who would want to pray over Elizabeth and I. And it dropped into my spirit right away that that was why I had read those verses that morning. That it was a gift from the Holy Spirit and maybe Leroy for Jordan and Elizabeth. And so, after the meal, when it was time to pray, I prayed that as a blessing over them. I told them, you know, that I told them the story behind it, and it was very meaningful to Jordan and to me too, and to, it was very meaningful. It was like a little bit like the blessing of his father at that important moment in his life. But that would have never happened if I had not read the Bible that morning. You know, it was meant to be. But I had to do my part. I had to be faithful and to read the Bible. And I don't know how many times in my life that kind of coincidence happens, that what you read that morning comes into play later that day. It's been many times. So do we believe that Scripture is directly from God to us? Do we believe it is for our training, that we can be rebuked and corrected by it, that we can be trained and equipped for good work? Do we want to be able to wield the sword of the Spirit on behalf of our families? If we do, we have to read the Word of God. In the Word, it compares, the Bible compares the Word to bread. What if we weren't eating every day? What if we only ate once a week? We should be treating the Word of God like it is food for our hungry soul, because it is. May God make us hungry for His Word. And today happens to be 10 years since Leroy entered heaven. And so I'm going to tell you something that he always said. Enjoy the day.
Good morning. It is time for our children's message now, so the children can come up to this side of the church. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, here they come. Good morning. Well, good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good, good, good. Well, thank you for coming up. So today, as you have heard, we are talking about God's Word, which is the Bible. And in Sunday school the last few years, we have been going through the whole Bible from the beginning to the end. Does anyone remember what the very first book in the Bible is? Genesis. And what's the last one? Was that what you were going to say? It's Revelation. So from Genesis to Revelation, we've seen how God has the story of redemption, the plan he made to save us, and how he's been faithful to so many people throughout the Bible. So why do you think that God gave us the Bible? Why do you think we should study it? What do you think? So we can learn about him. That's awesome. Why else should we read the Bible? Why did God give it to us? To learn about God. That's exactly right. So God gave us the Bible so we could know him and know how to be saved. And the Bible actually tells us a lot of other things about the Bible. Did you know that? In 2 Timothy, it says that all scripture is breathed out by God. And in Romans, it says the Bible teaches us and encourages us, like we just heard. And in Psalms, there's a really, 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 really long chapter that is all about God's word. It's Psalm 119. And that tells us that God's word helps us walk in the right path. It says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Does that sound familiar? I hope if you were in Sunday school last week with me, that should sound really familiar. And we've been singing songs about it too, right? So let me tell it to you one more time. It's Psalm 119, 105, and it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you think we can all say it together? Should we try? Okay. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Awesome job. So what do you think that means? How is God's word like a lamp or a light? Because God is the light of the world. And what is the light? What does the light do for us? How does it help if you have a flashlight on a dark night? Helps you to see better. Because what if you were walking in the dark and there was something in your path, like a hole, and you didn't know, and you were walking, and then you fell in the hole? You would want a flashlight to be able to see that and to know which way to go. So God gives us his word to help us to know where to go and to not fall into any holes or trip over anything. The Bible also tells us that God's word is truth, and it's perfect, it makes us wise, and it's better than gold and sweeter than honey, and probably sweeter than ice cream too. And it will never pass away, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it knows your thoughts. And Ephesians tells us that it is the sword of the Spirit. What do you use a sword for?
Fighting people.
So do you usually think about the Bible like a sword for fighting? Do you ever think of the Bible like that? Seems kind of weird. But why would God want us to have a sword? Is there anyone we need to be fighting? We need to fight sin. And who wants us to sin?
Satan
wants us to sin. He's our enemy. So how can God's word help us fight against Satan and sin? It helps us to trust him because it's truth, and it tells us that in Christ we're more than conquerors, and that God has saved us. So it helps us to trust God. How else does God's word help us fight Satan? Okay, so like we said, God's word is like a lamp. It's a light. It helps us to know which way to go. So it helps us to see those places maybe Satan is trying to put a hole in our path or something to trip over. So it helps us to see that and know which is the right way to go. God's word also tells us that Satan is like a roaring lion waiting to destroy us. So if there's a roaring lion around, it might be a good idea to have a sword, don't you think? Yeah. So remember that God has given us his word to teach us about him and how to live for him and to help us fight against our enemy, Satan, who wants us to do wrong things. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I have a snack for you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for this time to talk with these children about it. I just pray that they would hunger and thirst for you and for your word, and that through your word, you would strengthen and encourage them and equip them to fight against the enemy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Hang on. Wait. Do you want your...
I decided I should get up here before I get run over, so. If you want to, I'm going to read Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. So it says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from them, from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us and on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told them all that had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." So I read all that just to for us to think about how many times we are walking along, going through the path of life, that Jesus is honestly walking with us and we don't even recognize him. And then we have those moments where something incredible happens and we know Jesus is right there with us. But remember, all the time, he's always walking with us. He's always there. We may see him, we may not, we may recognize him, we might not, but he is always there. And I'm going to read these things that some people had written. First, starting with something Larry Weber had wrote. It's the verse is from Isaiah 30:21, and Larry said it gave It gave me a clear answer to become lead pastor. And it says, in your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. And someone else wrote, when they were faced with a difficult employment decision, we were at a loss as to how to move forward. In our minds, it felt like there were two choices and neither was a good one. Only a few weeks prior, the Sunday school lesson had been about Daniel hearing the news of King Nebuchadnezzar's order for all of the wise men of Babylon to be destroyed because of their inability to explain and interpret the king's dream. In the account, Daniel first, he has faith that God will reveal to him what the dream was and what it means. Second, ask his friends to pray for him and for the revealing of the dream. Third, he spends time seeing the Lord, and the Lord then reveals the dream and interpretation in a vision of the night. And fourth, Daniel then worships the Lord out of gratitude and credits the Lord in front of Nebuchadnezzar. So we decided to take Daniel's approach and asked friends to pray for our upcoming decision. We also spent much time over the course of a few days praying and searching the scripture, asking God to give us wisdom we didn't have on our own. After a few days of this, we woke up one morning and began discussing a familiar section of scripture we had both read many times before. We suddenly realized that this scripture held the answer to our decision and pointed us to the third option we hadn't even considered. We had an immense peace about this, and our faith and trust in God was very much strengthened. Worship and praise to God was a natural reaction. Hearing from God couldn't be reduced to formulas and strategies, but he does care about his children, and it was incredible to see how God worked and provided us with wisdom in this situation far outside from our ability, just like he did with Daniel. And then another person wrote, God has been faithful throughout my life to encourage and correct me through scriptures and answered prayers. We all fail, but each day is a day to follow Christ Jesus' example. Philippians 3:1 says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. And it is no trouble for me to write the same things again, and it is a safeguard for you. Philippians 3:12 to 14 says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I myself should have put something in here about what the scriptures have done for me, but I couldn't pick one or two because, quite honestly, the day I started reading this is the word I was looking for, changed everything. So from that point on, yeah, the word has changed my life. So to pick one or two scriptures is impossible, but hopefully this is encouraging.
Thanks, Brian. I think I've stopped saying my favorite verse, and I say one of the verses I like because Anne says favorite verses and favorite songs are just about all of them. Psalm 119, 105 is the verse, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I've read that whole passage, 176 verses, several times in preparation for today. And I just want to give to you some of the words that are used to describe God's word, maybe the titles, and some descriptions. So God's word, the titles that it uses in that passage is laws, decrees, word, commands, precepts, statutes. And the descriptions that the psalmist uses to describe that word is wonderful, righteous, trustworthy, true, everlasting, and enduring. And then below that is two other lists I made, and that's man's response to this word as is written in Psalm 119. The positive ones on the positive side is obey, delight, meditate, believe, understand, love, be in awe of, cling to, and hope in. And then there's the negatives, which we might find ourselves falling into, which is neglect, forget, depart from, break, or ignore. And so as we think about our morning this morning and our focus on just what God's word has done in our lives, how would you categorize your response to God's word? Are you the neglect, forget, break and ignore person? Or are you the delight, meditate, believe and understand person? Or maybe a different question would be, when are you the forget person and when are you the delight person? And what things motivate you to be one or the other? The scripture we're going to read next is a shorter one, but still has a good amount of verses, Psalm 105. And just, it recounts in a story what God has done over time. And so Donna mentioned about Leroy, and the one thing I think about Leroy is the power of a story. Leroy was a storyteller, and reminds me that when we read this story, what stories do we tell over and over again? And what emotion and intensity is associated with those stories that we tell? Do they give life? Are they beneficial for making us better people and God followers? Or do we tell over and over the bad things or the things that put us in a negative mindset? I think it's easy to do that, and it's a choice to tell the stories over and over again of what God has done. So we'll read the scripture, and then you can turn to it in Psalm 105.
Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done.
Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts.
Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, and seek his face always.
Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant.
To you, I will give the land of Canaan as a portion that you will inherit.
When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For his sake, he rebuked kings.
Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm.
He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of peoples set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom.
Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob resided as a foreigner in the land of Ham. The Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants.
He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and his wonders in the land of Ham.
He sent darkness and made the land dark. For had they not rebelled against his words? He turned their waters into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went up into the bedrooms of their rulers.
He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He turned their rain into hail with lightning throughout their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country.
He spoke, and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. They ate up every green thing in their land and ate up the produce of their soil.
Then he struck down all the firstborn of their land and the first fruits of all their manhood. He brought out Israel laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left, because the dread of Israel had fallen on them.
He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise he had given to his servant Abraham.
He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen one with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for.
So that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws.
Praise the Lord.
I just invite you to stand as we sing these next three songs about the goodness of God.
So good. With
peace of God, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee,
next song, As I Speak, Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus,
your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Father, we just thank you for your word and your name, and we just thank you that we can speak that in our homes, in our towns, the places we work. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. I'll be sharing some testimonies of how God's word provides courage, starting with Eugene Zimmerman, who shared 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, which says, "Faithful is he who calls you, for he will do it." Eugene said, "Many times I felt insufficient to pastor in the early years of ministry, and this verse was shown to me." Someone else shared Proverbs 18, verse 10, which says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." They said, "This verse encouraged me so much during the pandemic to cling to Jesus and not let fear overwhelm me. He is trustworthy." Sheila Brubaker wrote, "I was anxious, out of work, had financial struggles, scared of the ifs of what the future held if I took too long to find work. God showed me Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. In this passage, Ahaz, king of Judah, was anxious and fearful of the kings and nations coming against him. God said to him, 'Be careful, keep calm, do not lose heart. Do not be afraid, it will not take place, it will not happen. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all.'" Sheila said that she took verse 7 as God's promise to her, and it gave her confidence to fight. Another person wrote, "Many times in my life, God speaks to me by songs, sermons, and scripture, all with the same theme in the same time period. In 2022, I received a verse to hang on my wall. It was Psalm 46:10, which says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.' I also received a jar candle from someone else with the same verse on it. There were also other circumstances where this thought was shared to me, and I knew that it was God getting my attention." And Esther May Sensenig wrote, "The first day of my chemotherapy treatment, I was feeling fearful. I received a card in the mail with the verse from Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, 'Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.'" And she said that this verse gave her courage and sustained her all through her cancer journey.
It is very encouraging to hear all these scriptures, and his word is life. It is our bread, and I could stand here all day sharing different scriptures and how they've given me encouragement and courage and direction, but I'm going to share something that happened very recently. But before I do that, I need to go back probably 25, 26 years ago when I was in college. And Melanie was not my wife at the time, but we spent a lot of time together. And one of the things that we did together on our walks was memorize scripture. I'm sure that was her idea because she comes up with all the good ideas. But we memorized several different chapters, and I'm not really sure how we decided on what to memorize. But one of the passages we memorized was from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And 3 weeks ago, I was in the hospital recovering from kidney transplant surgery, and things were going very well. Exactly 3 weeks ago, I thought I was going to be coming home. But they said I needed to stay at least another night, and then another night. And the doctors were concerned that I may be experiencing, that my body might be rejecting the kidney. That obviously, when I heard that news, it was very discouraging. My first thought, I guess, was, well, you know, I've waited this long for a transplant, I've gone through the transplant, and if I lose this kidney, what's going to happen? I want to thank you for praying for me, for my family. I know that those prayers made a big difference. I didn't really have the strength to read God's word, but I was able to recall God's word that I had memorized. And one of the verses that came to mind, one of the passages that came to mind was 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through, or 14 through 16, the last part of it there that says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So then, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal." And that was one of the passages that that really helped me deal with the anxiousness and discouragement. And thanks to God's Holy Spirit, thanks to His Word, and thanks to your prayers, I had peace. I had peace when I went for a biopsy. I had just a knowledge that God was in control, and that no matter what happened, He's going to take care of me, He's going to take care of my family, and He's going to be glorified. And so I want to honor Him today. He gets all the glory. I am weak, but He is strong. So I want to encourage you with those words, and also kind of put a plug in for Bible memory, because the Holy Spirit, you know, Donna was saying, keep reading the Bible, and that's important. And then also memorizing, I would say, is important too, because there are times when you might not have your Bible with you, and the Holy Spirit will bring to mind things that you've memorized. I had another thought, but we'll have to leave that for another time. Thank you again for your continued prayers. May God be glorified in our lives, no matter what's happening, whether we live or whether we die, that we would be that He would be glorified in us. Thank you.
Thank you to all of you for sharing, whether it was written or spoken, what Scripture has done in your lives, so that we can be the people who benefit and delight in God's Word, not those who neglect. Just invite you to stand for a closing song.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is on me, Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange, how divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I. Dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoice.
I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future's sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my only hope is Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. I hold, my only hope is Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Go in peace. May God's word be the light to your path and the lamp to your feet. In Jesus' name, amen.